Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, this is Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's set his face, he's going. And along the way, he keeps telling his disciples what's going to happen. Spoiler alert, it's not good. And he gives his third time. For all of you who worry about having to repeat yourself, remember Jesus had to even repeat himself a few times. Third time he tells them, what's going to happen when you get to Jerusalem? I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be executed. And 3 days later, I'll rise again. And again, his disciples respond in a way that misses the point. So right after saying this, a third time, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, Well, what is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? We are able. Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to grant, but it has been for those who have been for whom it has been prepared. Now when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. You know, as we enter into this Halloween season a little bit more and everything else like that, I was looking for some stuff that I could use. So, you know, do you know that the most common place that's haunted in any big building is the elevator? That's where you find the most ghosts, because they like their spirits lifted. You know, I know a lot of people who really hate going to funerals because they're not mourning people. You know, I did a funeral once, and this guy was the big boss of the big company, and he was pretty much a really strict taskmaster. One of his disgruntled employees came to the wake and looked at him in the coffin and said, Who's thinking outside the box now, Gary? You know, I've had people ask me, Why do I do this? Well, here's the thing. I read somewhere that it is actually hazardous not to tell puns. That one time someone didn't, and there was 10 people who died. No pun in 10 dead. So I'm doing it for you. No, I try to do it to get you to relax a little bit, to laugh a little bit, to think about life in different ways, to get you to take a deep breath. Because especially in an issue like death, we don't like it. We don't like it so much we're not that different from the 12 disciples who followed Jesus on the way to Jerusalem and heard 3 times what was going to happen. But let's face it, when your 12 disciples are Larry, Moe, Curly, Shemp, Harpo, Bleppo, you know, 3 times. The first one is right after Jesus looked at them and asked them, Who do people say that I am? And then said, Okay, but who do you say that I am? And Peter's like, Well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Okay. Now, let me tell you what that means. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be mocked, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be crucified and die, and 3 days later rise again. Now remember, Peter, the guy who just said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, still somehow had the temerity to look at the Son of the living God and say, no. This shall not happen to you. And Jesus went, get behind me, Satan. Those that wish to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up a cross, and follow. Now, just about a chapter later, Jesus tells them again, on their way to Jerusalem, remember, when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be handed over, I'm going to be mocked, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be crucified and died, and 3 days later rise again. What happens? His disciples start arguing over the fact of which one was the greatest. They also asked Jesus to stop other people from doing things that because they weren't them. You got to stop them. They're not one of us. Jesus had to look at them and take a small child, put that small child in the midst and say, to such as these, the kingdom of heaven belongs. In fact, you will not see the kingdom of heaven unless you have faith like one of these little ones. The third time he says it, and we have today's lesson. I want the left chair, I want the right chair when you come into your glory. Adventures in missing the point much? They're looking at a payoff. They're looking at getting something. They're looking at glory. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus rebuked Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan, for your eyes are set on human things, not divine things? And what happened since then? The disciples are like, well, which one's better? And those people aren't part of us. And hey, we want the best positions. Are those divine thoughts or human desires? Because let's think about it. Most of us don't want to talk about death. There are even churches that don't want to. In my first call in a small town in Gibson City, there was, you know, every Thanksgiving and every Good Friday, we'd had a community worship service. And one year, the non-denominational kind of Pentecostal church offered to do the Good Friday service. And we're like, okay, cool. Want some help? Because normally we plan it together. No, we've got it. Are you sure? Because no, we've got it all. And we walked in, and it was like bright lights and laser shows, and Jesus rules, and Jesus reigns, and Jesus is victorious. And we're all looking at each other like, it's Friday, right? Isn't this the day we nailed him to a cross, mocked him, called him names, and watched him die slowly, and then chucked his body in a tomb? Now, honestly, I don't think that death is the thing that scares us. Dying does. But dying isn't just what leads to death in the physical sense. Think about it. Here's Jesus with his disciples. Three times he tells them, this is what's going to happen. Three times they get it massively wrong. Three strikes, you're out. Right? Why didn't Jesus just jettison the 12 knuckleheads who obviously still can't get it? Because that's what we would do, right? I mean, the one saving grace I have is I think Jesus was put so much time and effort into him that he wasn't willing to let him go. That's one thing. Because I think that, as my wife told me the other day, I put so much time and energy into you, you're stuck with me because I don't want to put that time and energy into anyone else. But our world says three strikes and you're out. In fact, in some cases, it's not even three strikes, isn't it? It's zero tolerance. We don't tolerate errors in a lot of places. We don't like it when someone doesn't do what we want them to do or say what they want to do. But a part of that is because we don't like the vulnerability of dying. We do not like when we cannot do the things we always took for granted that we were able to do before. We don't like being able to do for ourselves what we always did. Because we were raised our entire lives of, you better, you've got to, this is what you've got to do. What does it mean to be vulnerable and needing service? What does it mean when it comes to the fact of, you know, we want to be comfortable, we want security, we want power? Isn't it amazing that one of the temptations of Jesus was, I'll give you all this authority and all of this power. You just have to fall down and worship me. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he goes on and talks about the fact that those who want to be my followers must deny themselves, take up a cross and follow me, for what will it gather you or gain you to gain everything yet lose your soul? But how often might we do that for the sense of safety and security? We see it throughout history. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were like, we need a king so we feel safe. Give us a king, then we'll be powerful. We see it throughout history. Adolf Hitler was not elected because he kissed a lot of babies. He was elected because he promised safety and security and pride and power. I will give these things to you. Ignore the rest. How often do we to feel a sense of safety and security, a hedge against things that could be wrong, making mistakes, or death? We can sell our souls. And what does it mean for Jesus to come to us and not kick us to the curb with every strike and every screw up and every time that we do that? What does it mean to follow one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, including us? One of the greatest comforts I get from the stories of the Bible is you look at a lot of people, from the disciples to many of the people in the Old Testament, they didn't always get it right. They got it wrong more often than not. And it reminds me of the fact that God didn't call the qualified, he qualified the called. He never once walked into a room and found the most righteous, best person on the planet and said, you're mine. Or as one of my friends commented, it said that when God calls you to something, he's already accounted for your stupidity. I give thanks to God on a regular basis for that. Because this is about grace, which means we get it. Not because we deserve it or we've earned it. We get it because we need it. We get it because he did not turn away from what was going to happen in Jerusalem, that he went to Jerusalem, that he faced the mocking, the betrayal, and everything else like that. He took the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again to remind us that the absolute worst stuff that we do, the absolute worst things we'll hurl, the absolute worst things we'll ever endure is never the last thing. Because the one is with us and he will bring us through it. The gift of new life because of the love of God in Jesus Christ is ours always. And yes, then you're called to share that And you might go, well, really? Can I? Yes, you can. And I'm going to demonstrate how. I'm going to remind you of something very powerful and very important at least one more time before I leave. I invite you to take your hand and put it on top of your head. And repeat after me these promises God gave you in baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. So in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is near, that the kingdom that our Lord and Savior brought, it isn't about our zip code, it isn't about our ethnicity, it's not about our job title, it's not about any of those kinds of things, it is about those things that has been given to you. The power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of love and grace, and the fact that you are forever not who you are, but whose you are. And in that, we can always rise again and share that message of grace and love. So remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.